Holy brothers and sisters, last week we were learning Parshas Miketz, and really we come to the end. Yehuda says, Manitzadok, man noima manitzadok. What are we going to say? What can we say to justify ourselves? We can't. See, Yosef has manipulated the situation right from the start, and he's got them. They're very afraid. Now they went back to Canaan, and they said to their father, Dibeleni Ishaoretz Koshois, the man that the guy there in charge, he spoke really harshly to us, and he said, don't come down here. Don't come down without your brother, the younger one. Reuven says to his father, send him with me. My two children, they'll die if I don't bring him back. Yaakov doesn't even argue with Reuven, as we were saying last week. The Medrash says he calls him Bechor Shoite. Bechor Shoite. You tippish, you stupid. He says, What kind of guarantee this? Your children would have your children. What, they're not my children? Like, then Yehuda opens his mouth. Right. As soon as Yehuda opens his mouth, Yisroel feels. He starts to resonate to Yehuda, and the Torah calls him Yisroel for the first time. 22 years now as Yisroel. Before he's Yaakov, and now he goes to this feeling of greatness, and he trusts Yehuda. Yeah, send. And he sends, and Yehuda guarantees Binyamin, and they come down. So then, on top of the disaster, happens the calamity. And Yosef arranges for his becher to be put into Binyamin's sack of corn, wheat, and the police come chasing after. They find it, and Yosef says, "All right, this Binyamin, he'll be my slave. That'll be his punishment. You can all go home." And they don't know what to say. They're looking at each other. They're all speechless. They don't know how to begin. They don't know what to say. Yehuda steps forward. You see, Yehuda thinks, I've really woken up something really primal. First, I sinned against my father. I sinned against God. We sinned against the Torah, that we sold our brother Yosef. If there was something worse we could have done, I don't know what it is. And then on top of everything else, I sinned against myself. I made a promise to my father. I said that, give him to me. I said, from my hand, you can miyodi tuvakshen. You can demand him from my hand. If I don't bring him back to you, I will have sinned to you. I give you my olam hazeh, this world. I give you my olam haba. I give you my future, my Gan Eden, whatever. And now, Yosef has got Binyamin in his clutches. So I've sinned against the Torah, I've sinned against my father, I've sinned against my brother, I've sinned against myself. I've sinned, push it, everything. There's nothing I didn't ruin, says Yehuda to himself. Ma'am noima u'man etzdalak, we have no excuses. And then, what is it about stealing? Of all the, Yosef is no longer about. He originally accused them of being spies, right? The whole thing started Miraglim, your spies, you've come to see Erva Saoretz, the vulnerability. Now he's dropped his whole spy business, you know, not interested in the spy business. Now he's got a fresh Alila. What's his trumped up charge? Stealing. Yehuda says, well, stealing? Like, what's the message? Oh, wait a minute. Leisignoiv, the Torah, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, refers to stealing a person, because, you know, Leitirtzach is a capital offense, you shall not murder. Leitinov, adultery is a capital offense. Leisignoiv, also a capital offense. How could not stealing be a capital offense? Ah, if you steal a person and you sell him, you're stealing people, you know, that's a capital offense. So now that Yosef has turned it all to stealing, Yehuda says, well, you know, what did we stole, Yosef? We stole Gneva's Das. We stole the mind of our father. I was the worst one. I brought him the coat. Hakirno, I said, recognize, please. So Yehuda figures Nigmar Hadin. The fact that it all came devolved around this stolen piece of silver becher, you know, Yosef says, this little drama now makes sense. It's about the stealing. I'm the Grosse Ganef. I stole everything. From myself I even stole. With my Arvus, you know, with my guarantee. What Mishigimitar, you know, who was I to guarantee? What was I? I was mortgaging my Olam Haba, my world to come, on the basis of that my father gave me the child, and you know, I guess it means I don't have Olam Haba. I don't have a world to come. That's where we were at the end of Parshas Miketz. Parshas Vayigash, it's a whole other sedra. You know, when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we were learning the Gemara in Shabbos. In the future, God is going to say to Avraham, Benecha Chotu, your children sinned. And he's going to say, all right, it's okay, so let them work it off. Al Kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara says he'll go to Yaakov, and he'll say, Yaakov, you know, maybe Yaakov will pray for them because he had tzar gedol b'adam, he had so much pain raising children. He says, Yaakov, your children have sinned. Yaakov says, no, so let them work off their sin with some Kiddush Hashem. You know what Kiddush Hashem means, right? You get tied to a post and you get set on fire. So God says, Lo b'seva tamen v'lo b'dara d'ke'ei, so you don't get any good advice from the old ones, and the young ones don't have much sense either. He comes to Yitzchak and he says, B'necha chotu, and Yitzchak says, what? Wait a minute. They're my children? What? They're not your children? And he starts to argue. And then eventually he says, God, you don't want to accept 50-50 for the responsibility. Okay, I take it all. Here Kravitz Navshi Kadama. I already said, I gave it the office already. You can't ask me again. You know, so it's all seen to. And then the Gemara says, Umachavalu Yitzhak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'inayu. God shows us, Yitzhak shows us God with our eyes. What does that mean? We talked about it in Sefer Yetzirah, that you can look at God and die, and you know that's a way of dying, Al Kiddush Hashem. But it says, the Gemara says, Miyad Nosu Eneim Lemorim. So immediately they raise their eyes, all the Yidden look up to heaven, Va'oimrem, and they say, Ato Hashem Avinu, you God are our Father, Goy Aleinu, you are our Redeemer. Avraham sold us, Yaakov sold us, you are our Redeemer, Mei Olam Shemecha. Now, when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we didn't darshan this phrase, Me'olam Shemecha. This has been your name since forever. The Ishbitzer has a pshat. It says, what happens here in this week's Sedra, we've talked about it a lot of times, that we woke up from a bad dream. Like the Pasuk says, B'shuv Hashem Shivas Tzion, when God will redeem the return of Zion, Hayinu Kecholmim, we will have been like dreamers, right? So, we woke up suddenly, and Yosef revealed himself to us, and we realized we had been in a nightmare, and that it hadn't really been true, we hadn't been in danger, we hadn't, in fact, sinned against anybody, it was all a bad dream. And now, here we were, and everybody was safe, and there was this amazing salvation that Yosef is now king of Egypt, basically, almost, in everything but the actual throne. And Yaakov and his family are safe. The Ishbitzer says that in the future, it's going to be like that, only more so. Because Yaakov and his sons, they had a lot of pain. And they went through all kinds of trauma to get to this place where Yosef reveals himself and Yaakov, you know, Oid Yosef ben Ichai, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov, Yaakov comes back to life, you know. The spirit of Yaakov wakes up. But up until then, he'd been in hell. And when he prays afterwards, it says that, you know, he prays to the God of Yitzchak, his father. And he brings these offerings, Zevach Zizbach Zvochim. The Ishbitzer says, Yaakov wasn't really at that level of Yitzchak yet. Because God says, Anoichi Hokel Likeovicho, I'm God, God of your father. Not of Yitzchak. You're not there yet. Because in the Beis Yaakov, the son of the Ishbitzer, he brings his pasuk with Yitzchak, you know, that Yitzchak shows us God with our eyes. And then we say, God, you are our Father, Redeemer, since forever. And he says that in the future, when the future redemption comes, God will show us that we have never been in pain. That's very hard to believe. You know? I mean, if you tell me I was never in danger, like with the brothers, with Yosef, you know, they realized they'd never been in danger, that it would have been an illusion, that all the tzuras, the whole trauma had been self-induced, and it was imaginary, fair enough, it's imaginary. But the Ishbitzer Torah is that in the future, God will show us that it never was. We were never in pain, and that we were never in trouble, and we were never in danger, which seems to be impossibility. And he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk there, where we say, Goyaleinu Hashem, Ato Hashem Ovinu, you God are our Father, Goyaleinu our Redeemer, Me'olam Shemecha. It's been like that since forever. And according to the Ishbitzer, when Yitzchak shows us, Mechavelu Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'einayu, when Yitzchak shows us God with our eyes, the meaning of that phrase is that our eyes are opened and we realize that we have never been in pain. Never been in pain. You know, Hayinu Kecholmim, when we say that when Mashiach comes and we'll all wake up and it will have been a dream. So what are we in now? Are we awake or are we dreaming? Are we dreaming that we're in pain so much? What does it mean? So in this week's Seder, Vayigash El of Yehuda, Vayema Bia Doini, Yehuda approaches Yosef and he starts to talk. And L'chaira, everybody says, what did he say? He just went over the story again. This is what happened. Your servant, our father, has 12 children, one had disappeared, and then one stayed with him, and then there was a thing, and our father told us, go down to Egypt, Shivlamat Oichel, bring something to eat, so that we could live and not die, and then the whole story. So, and then Avdechore Vesana, you know, you're asking me why I'm getting involved, but you know, I'm the one who guaranteed the child, and so therefore I'm stepping in here. And so all the Mefarshim say that Yehuda was talking both to Yosef, and he was also talking to God. You know, before we come down into this world, the Gemara says, "Litzivyonon nivru, Nirtzoinon nivru," that everything that's created in the world agrees to be created. That, you know, before the creation, God discussed with everything that He created. He said, "Look, this is going to be, you know, you're the sun, you're going to this, and you're going to burn up in X million years, you know, you're going to run out of hydrogen, you're going to turn into a red dwarf, a brown giant, whatever is it, do you agree?" And the sun said, "Sure, I agree." Right? So everything, every stone, every atom, every person. And yet the Mishnah says, you, against your will, you're born, against your will, conceived, against your will, you live, against your will, you die. So these would seem to be contradictory. See, what happens, who on earth would agree to be born? You know, you're a soul, you're living in Gan Eden, and what could be better? You know, you're enjoying the glory of the radiance of the Shekhinah, and now you're going to be born? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls over the soul. Says, "Look, I have a job needs doing. Let me show you this world." And the soul looks down in the world, says to God, "I'm not going down there. That's a crazy place." So God says, "Look, there's things that you can get there that you can't get here." "Like what?" So God withdraws something of the light of the Shekhinah. All of a sudden, the soul, even though it's in Gan Eden, starts to feel like, ooh, hey, it's cold. There's something missing. And God says, yeah, look down into the world. Let me show you what's missing. And the soul is given a glimpse in this world of what it can achieve by coming into the world. So each of us was shown. But, you know, soul hasn't been living in Gan Eden for eternity for nothing. I mean, we're not stupid. So we turn around to God and say, "Ribbono shel Olam, yeah, I can see what I can be marviach, I can profit by going down there, but I have more to lose. Look what I have to lose. Here, I'm in Gan Eden and I enjoy your radiance. If I go down there and I screw up and I mess up and I blacken myself with an Aveiro or whatever, I mean, like, chalila, who knows what's going to happen? There's no guarantees." And Rabbeinu Shalom says to him, like he says to Yaakov Avinu, "I'm going to go down with you. I'm going to go down with you and I'm going to come up with you." Oh. Gamale. Doesn't just say I'm going to come up with you, I'm also going to come up with you. And gam, we know, wherever you have in the Torah the word gam, also it's a ribui. means more than just. It's not just you and I are going to come back. We're going to come back fully laden. The soul says, really? It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. I promise. It's interesting that when God says to Yaakov, I'm going to go down with you and I'm going to come up with you, he doesn't tell him anything about what's going to happen in Gulas itself, right? He says, I'm going down, up, but it doesn't say, and I'll be there with you. Because when you're in Gulas, it doesn't feel like being there with God. The definition of Gulas is exile is feeling like I screwed up. I'm in the dark. I don't really know what I'm doing. I mean, I really know what I'm doing, and it's not what I thought I was going to be doing when I started out. What am I doing? I seem to be doing mostly the wrong stuff. This is what I came down to do. Oy vey. Who can be here in Gulas, in exile, and have any kind of bitochen that they're doing the right thing? Who? We're in the dark. The biggest tzaddikim in the world don't know. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara says he was dying and he was crying, and his Talmidim are saying to him, why are you crying? And he says, I can see my death, I can see it's opening up, the other world's opening up, but there are two shvilim, there are two paths. One goes to hell and one goes to heaven. I don't know which way I'm going. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, mind you. You know, we don't know. If we think we know, we already don't know. Right? Like Shlomo used to make a joke, and there was this guy who came Erev Yom Kippur, and he realized he has nothing to do Kapora, nothing to do tshuva, and he didn't do any averis all year, so he went looking for an avera to do, so that his, you know, Yom Kippur wouldn't be a brocha levatola. I remember Shlomo laughing and saying, can you imagine such a person who thinks he doesn't have anything to do tshuva for? And that's the joke, that somebody would think. So here we are. So how did it happen? So the Ishbitzer says, these two things happen. First of all, God shows us that there's something to be gained from coming to this world. There's a profit to be had. How does that happen? By God taking away something of his radiance. And so we are bereft. Incidentally, he says this is what happened to Chava. That somehow she became aware when the serpent said, Avkyom Alekim, God said, and he used the name Alekim, then something of the name Yudke Vavke was covered over. That was the corruption that the Nachash, the serpent, succeeded in deluding Chava with, that he covered over the Shem Hashem. And so all she became aware of was the Shem Alekim, the name of God, which is Elohim, and which is everything gets hidden in nature. And then she looks around and it's like, oh, that tree over there, that has something that might fill me now. Every sin that a person does, they're only trying to connect. Every sin that a person does since the beginning of the world, if I look inside, I can find that their soul is just running around in the dark, blind, deaf, looking to connect, to reconnect. And because a person isn't well, a person's not whole, a person's not sane and serene, the physical body of the person ends up doing something, eats a shtikl chaza, or, you know, does whatever it is because, you know, it's looking to act out whatever it is, the satisfaction or the pleasure, the delight that the soul inside is running around begging for. So the two promises, and God says, I'm going to go down with you, Gam Ale, and I'm going to come up with you. So the soul says, really? You promise? All right, I mean, if... No, you know what? No. I think, you know, in spite of everything, yeah, you know, in theory, it's a good idea, but, you know, what do I need it for? Nah, you know, yeah, no. I think I'll stay. At that point, God just like says, wipes it clean, and you're going down. And so, you know, against your will, you're conceived and born and live and go through all your life and die and so forth. But originally, when you were in Gan Eden, there was a moment you said yes. Shlomo also used to say that God says to the person, you know what, I'll make it good for you. You can go around here in Gan Eden and you can pick out any two souls that you want. And they can be your parents. So, is it really? So you go find two people, two souls, and you come with God and you say, Rabbi Shlem, all right, if, theoretically, if I was going to be born and you let me choose, these are the two that I choose. So then God says to them, Hevron, listen, got a job for you. You need to be born. So look, this is what you can gain, and I promise I'm going to go down with you, and you get to choose your parents, right? So these two, each one chooses two of their parents. So it's really the last child ever born who's going to make the shidduch of Adam and Chava, right? But then comes the moment we balk and we say no. Yehuda, when he talks to Yosef, the Ishbitzer says, really, what's happening is God is showing us how we're supposed to talk to God. We're saying to God, you promised us that we were going to benefit from coming down. Noyach leila adam shalei nevra mishinevra. It's easier not to have been born than to be born, but you promised us. And not just that, you showed us what we were going to gain. And va'ozav es oviv v'meis. This is Yehuda says, if he doesn't go back to his father, he'll die. And really, this is Yehuda talking to God about himself. He says, Rabbi Shalom, you know, if I'm really cut off, if I really ruined everything, and I stole, and I gamved, and I killed, and I this, and I made promises, and arvus, and all this stuff, and now I'm being shown this becha, and it's all about, it's come back to roost, and nigma hadin, and the judgment is finished, and signed, and sealed, and I've been sentenced, how is this possible? If I stayed there in heaven with you, it wouldn't have happened. Like he says to Yosef, you say Binyamin is a ganef? Well, who told you to have him brought down? If he was a ganef, at least when he was living in Canaan with his father, he didn't do any geneva. He didn't steal anything. So, you know, I guess I'm to blame or you're to blame, but the child is not to blame. He didn't become a ganef only because you brought him down here to Egypt. So he's speaking to God, right? He's saying, Bashefer, Master of the universe, you know, I was goylam, esmol isi goylam mutal lefanecha. Yesterday I was just nothing, but I was, you know, I didn't ask to be born. Yehuda, everything that he says to Yosef is really speaking to Yosef, also speaking to God. And he keeps going deeper and deeper, you know. We said last week that Yehuda has a special gift. You know, at the end of the book of actually the beginning of the second book of Samuel. Shmuel Beis, Perik Chof Gimel, 23rd chapter. It says, these Eile Divrei David Achronim, these are the last words of King David. Naum David ben Yishai, these are the sayings of David son of Yishai. Naum Agever, the sayings of the man, Hukam Ol. It's hard to translate even Hukam Ol. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Hukam Ol? He set up the oil of tshuva. He's the one who first sacrifices himself as a Baal Tshuva. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, he's the anointed one of the God of Jacob, and Ne'im Zemiris Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. Ruach Hashem Diberbi, the Spirit of God spoke through me, Umilosoi, and his words Al Lishoni on my tongue. Omar Elokei Yisrael, said or says the God of Israel, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael, to me spoke the Rock of Israel, Moishel Bo'odam Tzadik. This verse is almost impossible to parse, but Moishel Bo'odam Tzadik rules in man Tzadik. Moishel rules Yiras Elokim, the fear of God. The Gemara translates this as Moishel Bo'odam, I am the one who rules man. Tzadik, Moishel Yiras Elokim, but the Tzadik rules me. So the Gemara tries to make sense of this verse and says that God is saying, that David HaMelech is saying, that God says, I rule man, Moishel Ba'adam, but Tzadik, Moishel, but the Tzadik rules. Who does the Tzadik rule? The Tzadik rules me, Yiras Elokim. Because I decree, and the Tzadik annuls my decree. The Ishbitzer says, Moishel Ba'adam Tzadik, that if a person sinned against the Divrei Chachamim, Moishel Yiras Elokim, and even if a person sinned against the Divrei Torah, the whole meaning of David, who comes from Yehuda, is the Baal Tshuva. So Omar Elokei Yisrael, says the God of Israel, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael. So there's a difference between Amira and Dibur, that Amira is always gentle and Dibur is hard. Like they come back to, they say the word Diber Lenu Koshois, the man spoke hard to us. So Omar Elokei Yisrael, the Ishbitzer says that this Amira is quietly, say things quietly, meaning behave yourself. Li Diber Tzur Yisrael, says David Amir, to me, Diber Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. I'm a Baal Tshuva, says David HaMelech. I, doesn't matter, Moshe Ba'odam Tzadik, Moshe Liris Elokim, doesn't matter whether I sinned against Divrei Chachamim, Moshe Liris Elokim, it doesn't matter if I sinned against the Torah straight. I'm a Baal Tshuva. What does it mean? That God says, you did what I wanted you to do. And the Ishbitzer says, all right, so you can take my deeds and you can unravel them and show that the deed that I did was your will, right? So I killed somebody, but then you'll arrange it so that really I was just carrying out your will and I killed that person and they needed to, vice versa, I was the executioner. But what about my machshava? What about my thoughts, you know? What happens? A person has a thought, I'm not going to listen to God. I don't want to do what God says. I'm rebelling. How, God, are you going to fix that? How are you going to show that this was your will? That seems impossible, right? The Ishbitzer says, it's no more impossible for God to show that our machshavas, our thoughts, are always connected to God at the deepest level, any more than it is to show us that we were never in pain, that we never had on us any kind of exile, any kind of gulas, any kind of yoke, that we are yidden, and we don't have on us anything but God, that we are Knesset Yisrael, that we are the Shekhinah Hakadosh, that we are God acting in the world. And our sense of ourselves is the ultimate illusion. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that He's going to show us Himself with our eyes, and we are going to be able to bridge the gap between our sense of self and our sense of God. When the Torah keeps on promising V'harachta yomim, you're going to have a long life, L'man yarichun yomecho, you have a long life. What's this promise of a long life? What are we? Copper top batteries? What's the promise of a long life? So the Ishbitzer says the promise of a long life is that we are going to go through all the changes, and just as, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you have all your memories of yesterday. You don't feel like a reborn. I mean, like I'm the person who lay down. I'm the person who woke up. So in the future, when God is going to reveal the truth, we're not going to feel, oh, that happened to somebody else, this is me. No. L'man yarichun yomecho means that God promises that we are going to go through those stages, and we are going to be able to see at the end, even after Tichias HaMeisim, even after the resurrection of the dead, you know, we're going to be born. I'm going to be born with the same ingrowing toenail. so that as, oh, it's not somebody else. It's not, I don't have somebody else's memories. This is me. That's the meaning of Arichas Yomem, that I have long life, means that I actually, it's me. On the other hand, God is going to show me that my own thoughts, that I thought that I was deliberately sinning against God, that it wasn't. That's not what was going on. God will unravel for me my own thoughts, not just my actions. Where does all this miracle come from? That, you know, I sinned against the Divrei Chachamim, I sinned against the Torah, and God shows me, no, you never sinned, this is what I wanted you to do. That even, so it comes from Yehuda. It comes from this Nekuda that happens this week in the Seder, Vayigash El of Yehuda. You know, at the time, nobody knew what was going on. And again in the Torah, you know, we've got all this, the map of the Sephirois, and, you know, this is Malchus, and Malchus leisle einen, Malchus has no eyes. What does it mean, it has no eyes? You know, if I am receiving from God, I don't look, you know, if the king calls me over, says, Hershele, and he puts his hand in mine and he says, here, I'm giving you this gift, and I want you to be blessed, and I want you to go out into the world, and I want, you know, do I say, excuse me, your majesty, and then I open my hand, I turn away, I look, oh, what's he giving me here? He's giving me, oh, three diamonds and four rubies. No. You know, God is talking to me, He's putting stuff into my hand, He's putting stuff into my soul. I'm not looking at what He's giving me. I'm looking at God. This is Yehuda, Leisle Einin, He's the Shechin, He's Malchus. He's not looking at what He's being given. He doesn't even know what His gifts are. All He knows is standing face to face with God. And this is the big difference between Yehuda and Yosef, which Yosef can't even be massive, can't even conceive of the being of Yehuda, because Yosef is the giving hand of God, you know. So to speak, he has his back to the giver, you know, he's part of the conduit. But Yehuda is standing face to face with God. Yehuda leis le'ainin, doesn't have eyes to look, to see. And all of us, you know, every one of us, all this bechin of Yehuda, we're standing all the time face to face with God, and we have no idea what's coming to us. We have no idea what the shefa, the flow of abundance, we have no eyes. Only Yosef can show us. You know, Yosef demands, you know, the Maaseh Mitzvahs. You know, Yosef says, hey, the only way you're going to see this is by doing the right thing, you know. Yehuda, why doesn't he always have to do things the right thing? You know, because he's the Divrei Torah. Yosef is the Maaseh Mitzvahs. Yehuda the Divrei Torah. The Maaseh Mitzvah is Omer Elokei Yisrael. You got to be like a piece of bamboo. You got to be flexible. It's got to be belechish. It's got to be quietly. You got to be ready to bend when you see you're doing the wrong thing or if you're approaching the wrong thing. Yehuda's lead Dibrei Yisrael. You know, the rock is speaking to me, speaking through me. I'm opening my mouth and the Shekhinah is talking out of my throat. That's the meaning of Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah doesn't mean I open up a Mesilas Yesharim and I read what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. Divrei Torah means that I open up my heart and what comes out from my heart, this is the Divrei Torah. This is Yehuda. And when Yehuda opens up his heart, you know what comes out? After the Gemar Din, after everything is over and Yehuda says, you know, God, I realize you're finished with me. And we've come a full circle. I sold my brother and now it's I gamvered him and now it's all the genevans. I see it's all coming back in my face. And he starts to shout. At Sa'aka, he starts to shout. Yehuda starts to shout. And this is that bechina of Yitzchak, you know, where Yitzchak says to God, no, it's not like that. It wasn't like that. Wait a minute. They didn't sin. When did they? No. And starts to find inside himself this koyach to say, Rabbeinu Shalom, it can't be so. There has to be something else. You promised. And that's what the Rabbeinu is waiting for. He's waiting for us to remind him of the promise. And as soon as that happens, Yosef falls off his chair. Paroi falls off his chair. They all fall off their chair because Yehuda shouts so loud. And they all have to admit and concede that Yehuda, down in the deepest, deepest hole of despair, he's the king of salvation. He's Mashiach, because he could still find it in his heart to shout, Rabbeinu Shalom, no, it's not like that. I believe it's not like that. I bless you and me, we should find that shout in our heart and we should be able to realize, you know, the salvation. Amen.